Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are here in our midst. Lord, you dwell and live in the praises of your people. And Lord, as Gary prayed earlier, Lord, we really are Easter people. We really do believe in resurrection. And Lord, we just pray for the whole Huffman family, the extended family. Lord, I can only imagine just how stunned they all are. Lord, but we just are going to ask you and pray for a miracle. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We'll be able to lift him up too when we take Eucharist here in a minute. I'm just going to talk briefly tonight. As when Bishop left earlier today, he just made a decision like at 2:30 to leave and to go be with them, because the word we're getting back from, if those of you that don't know, I think everybody knows Mark Huffman or what's going on. Mark is Ricky and Vicky's younger brother, youngest of four, Tina and Mark. Well, I guess early this morning sometime he had a massive stroke. He's 44 years old. In Louisiana, he's in the hospital in Monroe, Louisiana, and they're not expecting him to live because it was such a severe stroke. And so Bishop's headed over there. The whole family's been over there, and the last word we got is I think Ricky's headed over there now, and with the intention of them pulling the life support plug on him. So, but it hadn't happened yet, and this, you know, Easter people, unless we get a real word from the Lord, like, hey, it's his time to go be with the Lord, we're just going to always stand and believe and pray, you know. I remember when Sue Huffman was in the hospital, if y'all remember that, and when she was at UAB a few years ago, I mean, they thought she was dying. I mean, she was on the way out too, and then God just healed her, and, you know, she came back and was with us. So we'll just continue to do that and stand with them and believe. But what I want to talk about tonight, it was, you know, I just asked the Lord, all right, Lord, what do you want me to say tonight? Because it was kind of quick. I had three counseling appointments between then and now, and not a whole lot of time. But the Lord said to talk about humility. Bishop talked about that a little bit this week in Noonday Eucharist. And humility is such an important thing for our lives, and you'll see here in a minute why it's so powerful to us, and the rewards of humility and what God does with humility in our lives. But in order to talk about humility, then we've got to do the nemesis of humility, which is scripturally is pride. And Leanne Payne, one of my favorite writers, said this in one of her books, I think Restoring the Christian Soul, said that the root of everything that goes amiss in our lives is pride. The foundation, the root of everything. You know, I can see that, because at first when she said that, I thought, well, you know, I'm not real sure. But if you see kind of what biblical pride is, because there's also two faces of pride. One, pride is we could say that pride is anything that adds to or takes away from the finished work of Christ or the cross. So in one sense, like, guilt is a form of pride. Because you're saying that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't for me. It was for everybody else, but not for me. Okay? The other sense of pride is more of a self-sufficiency, in that I don't really need everything that's offered to me on the cross. You follow me? Now, that one's what we're most used to, because we think of pride as being a more arrogant type thing. You know, and not the other side of being, like, guilt, and false humility is one of the highest forms of pride. Okay? So we're talking about pride like that, the very opposite of humility. You'll see that when we see what humility really is and how God wants to just kind of infuse that into our life. And you know, anybody that's spent time in Lazarus Ministries or praying for people, then you always are confronting walls of pride that people have. You know, how they hide behind walls of pride. You know, and we've got to bring those down when you're confronting whatever area that is and that person, there's self-protection there, whatever, and there's like these brick walls of pride, and we've just seen the Lord begin to bring those down when they confess. Now, that's one thing I do every day at Noonday Communion. We're in here, and we do the confession. I do that. You know, one thing I always confess is pride, because if I'm struggling with guilt, then I confess my pride, because I'm not receiving forgiveness and mercy from the Lord, you see. Now, one thing of a biblical definition of humility is the deflation of pride in our life. Or how God, Bishop talked about that last Sunday, about God working things in our life that's humiliating to us to deflate our pride. I was talking to this person recently, and who had to go through a court system and had lost everything and their children, and how humiliating it was to have to stand up there and before a judge and everything. So they just opened the door to talk about God really working in their lives and working humility in their lives and raising them up from that place of humbleness before God. So first, let's talk about God dealing with pride in our life. There's a lot of scripture. I'm not going to read every scripture. I'm just going to tell you where to go if you want to go back and look at it. Because if I read every scripture I have written down here, we'll be here for a while. So we don't want to do that. First one's in Job chapter 41 and verse 12. I think I got that right. I'm looking here. It says Job 14:12, but that's not right. Let me just make sure here. I wrote that one down wrong if you want to go back and look at it. Wrong way. I'm sorry. I was close. Job 40, verse 12. And this is the conversation that God and Job were having. And this is God speaking of the things, asking Job, can he do these things? You know, remember that when God answered, look on everyone who is proud and humble him and tread down the wicked where they stand. So God's saying, Job, can you look on everyone who is proud and humble him? I can. So one thing God does is he can look on those who are proud and humble them. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, the story of Nebuchadnezzar, when he was walking, looking at all the kingdoms he had conquered and all the stuff he had, all the spoils, and all of a sudden, and he was saying, I did all this. And all of a sudden he lost his mind, remember? Ran out into the field and started growing hair that said it looked like feathers and bird claws, and all of a sudden he looked up to heaven, his reasoning returned to him, and he repents and says, the God in heaven did this. I'm sorry, it's not me. It's all about you. Then he says this thing in verse 37 that he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And this has been always one of my life verses about the Lord teaching us, where that scripture talks about him teaching us to live out of everything that proceeds from his mouth. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you do not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but proceeds out of everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Well, he led them in the wilderness for 40 years and he really humbled them. I mean, they were absolutely, utterly dependent on God. You're in the wilderness. Nothing grows there. You can't plant anything. And they had to depend on the manna that came down and God even to get them water out of rocks and different things like that. So he has a way of humbling us. And then two places, one in James chapter 4, verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says this, that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay, so it's a big deal. Now, we can have God to kind of break us and deal with our pride like he did with Nebuchadnezzar or somebody like that. Or we can give him permission to deal with the pride in our life and break it. I think, which he would much rather do, which we'll see in a minute. Because that's the work of humility in my life. Because humility, at the very basis, is utter dependence upon God. And when God works humility in my life, he's working dependence on me, and he's dealing with my pride in every area of my life. We all have it, y'all. There's not a person in here that some area in your life that you're not dealing with pride. Okay? So he begins to deal with us. And these are some, what I'm going to read from now on is just some of the things that humility does for us. In Proverbs, it says, the reward for humility are riches, honor, and life. The reward for humility are riches, honor, and life. In Proverbs 3:34, it says that he gives grace to the afflicted. Again, in that verse in James, I quoted you earlier, in James 4, chapter 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, where it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So one thing we get as God's working humility in our life is the flow of the grace of God in our lives. Okay? That's a good thing, y'all. Pride kind of is like the little faucet thing that turns it off. Humility is what turns it on. And there's a flow of grace that comes into our life from that. Two, Scripture says that he fellowships, and or the actual word is hangs out with those with the humble. Isaiah 57:15. I will read that one. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on the high and the holy place, and also with the contrite, which that word can be translated also as humble, and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So it's a cool word, right? He dwells in the high and holy place, and he said, also, you know who else I dwell with? And I hang out with the humble. The contrite and the broken. Isaiah 66:2. Let's flip over. In B of chapter of verse 2. But to this one I will look, or that word is esteem. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Again, this one God esteems, looks at. That word also means the one I favor. I look, I hang out with. It's the one who is humble and contrite. So humility, absolute dependence on God, but it's also an attitude of brokenness before God. How many of you read that book, Calvary, that we had out a while back? Y'all read that book? You ever want to read a book about repentance and about humility and brokenness and an attitude of brokenness before God, I would highly recommend that you read that book. Okay? It's called Calvary. The book's Calvary by a guy named Roy Hessen. Calvary Road. Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Calvary Road by Roy Hessen. Great book. Now, Psalm 51... great prayer of David went during his repentance. This brings us to our third point, thing we get from humility. One is the grace of God. Two, fellowship with the Lord. He hangs out. Three, it's pleasing to him. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice. That's Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. Otherwise, I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise or thou wilt not reject. So he's not pleased with my sacrifices. What he wants is my broken heart. A humble heart that he can work with. Contrite. Psalm 25:9, this is one of my favorite It says this. He leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His way. When we talk about leading the humble in justice, that means that God deals with their enemies. He deals with your enemies, and He teaches you the ways of God. All right? So that's a pretty good reward for humility, right? God dealing with my enemies, and then knowing the ways of God. And I love that scripture. I think it's in Psalm 103 where it says, Israel knew God's act, but Moses knew God's ways. And in Numbers chapter 12, if you go read that, I think it's verse 3, it said that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's what it says about him. And I always really like Moses because in Exodus 33, you see him, he was in the tent. And it said God spoke with him as a man does face to face. Why? He was a man of humility. He was humble before God. He was broken before God. He had a humble and contrite heart. So his reward was God's presence. He spoke to him. He deals with our enemies, and he teaches us his ways. And it says Moses knew the ways of God. Why? God told him. Same way with you. You let God deal with you, and with a heart of humility and a broken heart, guess what he's going to teach you? His ways. You'll know the ways of God. We won't turn here. Proverbs 11:24. Fifth thing says that to the humble God gives wisdom. He gives wisdom to the humble. Psalm 37:11, since we're in the Psalms already. This is a cool one. Psalm 37:11, the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So, one of the six things you can get, Lord, and there's tons of them, right? I've kind of narrowed it down a little thing, is abundant prosperity, inheriting the land. Like, that means not that we're going to have a big inheritance and have a lot of land. That could be true. But it's just like Canaan, taking the land, the abundant Christian life. Walking in humility gives you that, gives you the land, and you'll delight in abundant, not just prosperity, but abundant prosperity. 7. There's two places in Scripture in the New Testament, James 4:10 and 1 Peter 5:6, and it says this. And this is kind of an admonition to all of us. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. In the verse above that in James, when it says, be miserable and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom, then it says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. What that's saying is, let God deal with your heart. Okay? That's what we've been hearing for a while now. Just be honest with your stuff. Let God deal with it. That's what humbling myself before the Lord is. And the reward is, He'll exalt you. I don't have to exalt myself. He'll exalt me. Right? Now, two places in Scripture, and I just copied a couple of these down. There are more of them. In Colossians 3:12, it tells us this. To put on humility. In 1 Peter 5, I've used that one a lot. If you want to go read 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 right in there. It's a really good Scripture. And it says to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. Then, for God is opposed to the proud, but He gives the grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the mighty presence of the Lord, and He'll exalt you. And then you know what it goes on to say? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. the whole context of that is humility. So what do you think Satan's coming to try to devour you with and looking for? Pride. Right? He knows about pride. It's what caused his own fall. Right? So, briefly, running through, the reward for humility, riches, honor, life, which is the grace of God, fellowship with the Lord. He hangs out with you. You're his hanging buddy. It's pleasing to him. It pleases him. It's a sacrifice, something we can give him. He teaches you his ways, the ways of God. He gives you wisdom. You'll inherit the land and you'll delight in abundant prosperity. He'll exalt you and he'll raise you up to be his spokesman. And all you got to do is let God do it and let him deal with your pride. And you may say, Lord, I really don't know what that is. Well, ask him, show it to me. He'll show it to you. He'll show you where you're not receiving from the cross or you don't think you need it. Okay? We fall in those two categories, guys. We're not receiving it, and it's not for me. And we have self-pity and guilt, or we don't think we need it. And we oppose it. Anyway, either way, God is opposed to the pride. All right? Let's offer it to him, okay? Amen.